It is a modern Brad. He came out.
This movie, Brad Pitt comes to the camera.
He like pulls a straight Ellen. He's like, I'm gay.
I always forget that happens in this movie.
Yeah, it's because not a lot of people saw it.
Ally kind of flew under the radar. That's why it's called Ally, because we're all allies to Brad Pitt.
Don't shift your weight. Don't stare. And for God's sake, whatever you do.
Hello and welcome to March Bradness. I'm Sarah.
I'm Hannah. And this is the world's only March Madness style Brad Pitt themed podcast in which we're pitting every single one of Brad Pitt's movies against one another in a quest to find the ultimate Brad. This is not a spoiler-free podcast, so if you haven't seen Allied or 1990's The Image, turn back now.
I'm gonna guess you haven't seen The Image because it's impossible to find.
Maybe you have. Maybe you had HBO in 1990.
It's true, or maybe you're a bigger Brad Pitt fan than we are.
I don't know about that. But if you don't want to be spoiled for these films, take a breather, go watch them, come back now, because we're gonna have to talk about all parts of them. If you don't care about spoilers, go right ahead. Today we have a special guest, Raina Deerwater, who we will meet in just a second.
She's going to talk about Allied with us.
So we are here with friend of the show, Raina Deerwater.
Hello.
She is a writer, podcaster, dinosaur enthusiast.
All true.
She has a lot of thoughts and opinions on Brad Pitt and Allied, and we're going to talk about that. She's going to weigh in on the Bradness with us today.
Yeah, I'm excited. Excited to talk about Brad Pitt and his hats in Allied.
Oh, he does have so many hats.
He has some good looks.
He does. So just some context. So right now I'm working for GLAAD, a nonprofit for LGBTQ folks. And they do a film report every year that's like every major studio film and like the representation. And I had to watch Allied because Lizzie Kaplan's character is a lesbian. But I was doing research before and I was like, oh shit, Lizzie Kaplan's a World War II era lesbian. I'm hype. And she had like 3 minutes of screen time and I was like, fuck this movie. Like, and I was just very bored by the plot. But a saving grace of it, I was like, man, Brad Pitt looks so fucking good in this movie. Brad Pitt and Marion Cotillard just banging it out. I was like, this is what I'm here for. And then they'd go back to the plot and I'd be like, I don't care.
That's my exact experience watching that movie. I got so excited when Lizzie showed up. I didn't know that was going to happen. And I was like, am I seeing this right? And everybody's like, yeah, you didn't know. And I was like, if somebody told me there's a fucking lesbian in the movie, I would have watched it the second it came out.
Exactly.
The rest of it was really boring. But yeah, Brad and Marianne were like keeping it going.
They were great. They were just two beautiful people, honestly.
Exactly. And they fuck in a car.
They fuck in a car.
In a sandstorm.
It was very intense. I loved it. Like, I love just the zoom out and then it's like, there's sand, which is the passion of their fucking.
Yeah, it's, I don't know. I've never had we're about to die sex, but I imagine it's like up there.
It's and gotta be.
Not like, definitely. Like, we're gonna die.
The sandstorm is just like a little extra spice on top.
Really gets you. It's, y'all be nice and exfoliated at. You know?
Oh, I'm sure. Also, like...
Well, I hope it wasn't getting in the car.
I'm like, that car is so old that it's gotta have gotten in there, like...
Yeah.
Either in the car when they were fucking, which, ouch, or in the engine so they could not drive home, not home, back to spy things. The plot is not good.
I can tell you what happens in this movie. So, Brad Pitt and Marion Cotillard are World War II spies. It's a melodrama where Brad Pitt is, like, undercover and they have to take out this Nazi cell and then he has to be fake married to Marion. And then they get real married after they take out the Nazi cell. They're like, he's like, come back with me to London and we can get married.
We're alive, Max. We're both alive.
Come with me to London. Come with me to London and be my wife.
And they do, but then it turns out that she's actually a super double spy and is working for the Germans. And the whole movie is him trying to like prove to everyone that she's not actually a spy. And then it puts people in danger. And then it turns out that she was. And then she shoots herself and he's like, fuck. But then he gets a farm in Canada with his daughter. So.
The end.
I think like the first 40 minutes of the movie, whenever it was like, and of course it was like Casablanca, because they're like, we need romance in World War II. Let's do Casablanca. And the first part of the movie was them like pretending to be married and being spies and having a lot of sexual tension. And I liked that part. Like I was having fun. But then they like got married and she popped out a kid and she was like a stay-at-home spy. And he was like, is she bad? I was like, I'm bored.
Yeah, that was a turning point. When I first saw, like when she was giving birth with the bombs dropping everywhere, I was like, is this happening?
That was, because I actually watched it, I don't know, a couple months ago, and I was like, I should rewatch it for the podcast, but then I did not and just read the Wikipedia page, and I was like, good, this is what I remembered. I'm a fake fan of Allied.
We did that last night, and then I was like, you know, I gotta rewatch it, because all I remember is the sandstorm, and Brad spoke really bad French.
Oh, man.
Like, what else do you need to remember about it?
I realized this after watching the movie, because during the movie, I was like, oh, no, she was a spy, but she loved him. But at least their daughter's good. But then later I was like, hold up, if she's being a spy is for the like opposite side is one thing, but like being a spy for literally the Germans during World War II is the worst people to be a spy for. Like that was bad. Like she was not a good person.
No, she was a literal actual Nazi.
Yeah, like not a spy, a Nazi spy.
Yeah.
Brad was pretty accepting of that too. Once he found out, he's just like, okay, but do you love me? And she's like, yeah. And he's like, all right.
Cool, we'll figure this out. We'll move to Switzerland or some shit. So maybe Brad was not woke in this film.
That's true. He was allied with a Nazi. He's definitely kind of dead behind the eyes for a lot of it. Like mm-hmm. You can tell he's a little troubled. And then at the end of it, like the first time I saw it, I was disappointed when his wife kills herself because I thought his reaction was a little bit flat. Watching it a second time, I feel like it did fit his character. Like he seemed a little bit shocked. And then, you know, there's a second shot where he goes over and he's kind of like putting a blanket on her, and that seemed more authentic to me. And it makes me wonder about the editing of the movie and the writing.
I think he was a little too serious for my taste in this movie. That's why the beginning I like better, because Brad and Marianne being like, ooh, we shouldn't fuck because we're spies, but we're gonna. I was like, yeah. But then later he was like, I care about my country and if my wife is evil. And I'm like, fair, you should, but it's boring.
It feels like two different movies. It's like fun, sexy Casablanca. And then like the second he puts his hand on her stomach to be like, she's pregnant, then it immediately switches to a different, way less interesting movie with like a little interlude of her giving birth during a blitzkrieg. Maybe that was just a virtue of the film, which I forgot to mention, but really need to, was directed by the same person who directed the Back to the Future trilogy.
Yep, Robert Zemeckis.
You knew this. You were unfazed by this.
I was unfazed. I told you I had to do a lot of research on this movie for work. I think Robert Zemeckis is one of those directors where they're like, ah, he's so good, was so good, but hasn't done anything good since like the big ones of like Forrest Gump, Castaways, Back to the Futures. And now he does The Polar Express and Allied.
Allied was like, I don't know. Now I've seen it twice and it's like, I would consider it a comfortable airplane movie for sure.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good, like, drawing to movie.
Except for the subtitles.
The part that was subtitled was the fun, sexy part. So then when the subtitles go away, you can just start drawing.
That's true.
True.
You make a good point.
But yeah, no, I also thought like when I was looking it up to refresh my memory, it was like drama / romance / thriller. And I was like, thriller? But then I was like, the second half of the movie came flooding back. And I'm like, oh, right, that is a thriller. Because like 90% of my memories were just them fucking in the car in the sandstorm. Because that was the best part of the movie.
It was so good.
That was thrilling.
It was perfect.
Also, some great butt shots of Brad in this movie.
It's true. We do get a number of Brad butts.
I didn't notice. When do you get Brad butt? He's got clothes on still, though. Are you just talking about like through the clothes? No, see a naked butt?
I think the scene where like they have sex, like after he finds out he doesn't find out she's a spy, but they tell him she's a spy and he's like mad and they have sex, and afterwards she's like, this was different. But during that sex, the kind of angry sex, you see the Brad's butt. I'm not as big of a connoisseur of the looks of Brad as you guys, but like in my head I was like, okay, peak hot Brad is like 2000s. But then this was the first like modern movie with Brad Pitt where I'm like, oh, this guy's fucking hot. Like this was like the only time I was like, older Brad Pitt could super get it. Allied.
Allied Brad.
How do you feel about World War Z?
A World War Z, he could get it, but in like a dad way.
I got so much shit for that.
I dragged you to hell and back. You know what? I'm still gonna drag that. That is a sinful thing to say.
I said that you with that World War Z dad Brad could get it. It's
yeah.
Sinful. I'm also like, for the record, like not attracted to men in general, but.
Brad can get it.
Brad can get it. I'm very aware of when men can get it. So
For the record
of who's into Brad, put me down as a hard maybe.
There are all those rumors that he and Marion were like hooking up on set and stuff that she went on Instagram to debunk. And was like, no, I love my husband. Stop that. But like, one of the other interesting things about this movie is like how transparent Brad's type was in this. When they were shooting fake Nazis in the desert, her look was one, on point, ideal, such a good look. And then two, looked so much like Angie and Mr. and Mrs. Smith. It was a little spooky.
They did seem to have really good chemistry.
They had great chemistry.
Of the rumors. Yeah. It was really fun to watch them flirt. And I felt like he was, like, really keyed in during those moments.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, like, women who play spies that he's married to will make him cheat, allegedly. We don't know.
Brad loves a good spy.
That's a good... I mean, also, like, Marion Cotillard is, like, such a babe, like, all the time. It's just, it's unreal.
Who could blame the Brad?
Angie.
She could.
True.
What else is there to say about the Brad and Allied?
In the end, it was like everything that I didn't like about the movie was more like the writing and the pacing of it. Like, I thought the leads were both good. I thought, like, with what he was given, he was very, like, handsome. And, like, during the first half, I'd say first half of this movie, Brad, A+. Second half of this movie, Brad, like, a solid B.
Yeah, I would say. Solid Plan B entertainment.
Yeah. Hey.
I would say that, like, my main gripe with it is that I didn't feel like he had a character going on behind what he was playing. And, like, I would write that off as the writing, but having seen World War Z, where that character didn't really have anything written, and, like, it was like he fleshed it out, I felt like he wasn't... I guess I feel like he was kind of half-assing this role. And after reading the GQ article where he was talking about how there was a period of time where he was absolutely phoning it in, I feel like this was one of those movies. But I feel like he was at a point in his career and like at a level of acting where he can get away with phoning it in.
He was, as RuPaul may say, resting on pretty.
He was resting on pretty.
Yeah, I feel like it's definitely, you can tell he's gonna get divorced. I mean, between this and, I assume, By the Sea.
Yeah, it definitely, like, the thing that was, like, the best about his performance was the chemistry with Marion Cotillard. So, which is funny, because, like, if he was phoning in some of the stuff, he clearly wasn't phoning that in.
No, for sure. It's an interesting look at, I guess, that duality of, like, when someone's bored versus when they're not bored. And I think that makes it interesting in terms of the Bradness.
That you can see the little light turning on and off every time he looks at me.
Yeah, it's true. His eyes, they sparkle.
He's like, oh, I remember why I took this role.
I get to make out with her.
Oh, good. Oh, now we're shooting something else? I don't really care about that.
Yeah, it was like, I guess it's just hard to like separate his performance from the movie, because it's like, God, there were stretches of this movie that were just incredibly dull. And he wasn't not a part of that dullness. But when the movie was exciting, like, you were like, yeah. The whole section, the whole like second half of the movie where he's trying to find little hints of things, and if she's a spy, like, I'm like, oh, we know she's a spy. Like, it was only when he was either being super aggressive and threatening people, or like with her being like, I still love you but you're a spy, that it was interesting. The rest of it was just very dull.
I think that's a pretty comprehensive view of Allied.
Yeah, I feel like, yeah, Brad Pitt, serviceable but boring usually in this film.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Serviceable but boring. I
agree.
That's
a good, yep.
Like a reliable car.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, it'll get you where you need to go. You might not have a great experience, but
every once in a while when you're on a nice stretch of open road, it's really nice.
And you won't break down in South Dakota.
Yeah.
And maybe if you take that car into the desert and there's a sandstorm, you can fuck.
You might get lucky.
You might get lucky.
That's beautiful. Well, how can people find you on the internet?
I'm at It's Raina Ingmen on like most social medias.
That's such a good handle.
Yeah, no, that was it. That's my one claim to fame is my Twitter handle. It's fun. I have a Glee recap podcast, which is very fun. It's basically sort of a remember when you liked this, it's terrible. There's nothing ironic about Show Choir. It's on iTunes and Google Play and wherever you find podcasts. It's fun. Brad Pitt was never on Glee, RIP, but...
We could have had
If you were, we'd have a crossover.
But yeah. Thank you guys so much for having me. This was so fun.
Oh my gosh. Thank you so much for joining.
You have, again, an open invite. Chat with us whenever. It was a delight.
Love a good chat. Start a fight club,
Brad reputation. Shit, that was Snapchat. Oh no, I'm trying to turn up the sound.
Okay, Google, what's up with Brad Pitt right now?
Here are some results from a search.
So this is exciting.
Oh, I'm stoked about this.
This is some good news.
So recently, David Fincher signed on to direct World War Z 2.
Pew, pew, pew. Pew, pew, pew. So David Fincher has brought us the magnificence that is Brad Pitt plus Fight Club.
And Brad Pitt plus 7 and... Brad Pitt plus The Curious Case of Benjamin Button.
I did not know the other two. Good on him for 7, I guess. I haven't seen 7. Bad on him for Benjamin Button. I guess I haven't seen Benjamin Button. These are just assumptions.
Assumptions based off of me, who has seen these movies as a David Fincher aficionado.
That's true. He also did The Social Network.
No. I can't believe it wins the Oscar every year. It's every single year since 2009. It's always won the Oscar. It's like, why even watch the Oscars? Because it's like, oh, The Social Network. Except for this past year when Moonlight beat it out. But that was like, okay.
You really like The Social Network.
Social Network is why I went to film school.
It's a good movie.
Yeah, but Brad Pitt's not in it. I love David Fincher. I did go to film school. And like, I understand where me saying this, you're going to be like, oh, fuck that girl. I love David Fincher. He's a very good director. And I think what he does with Brad Pitt is borderline magic.
I'm super excited for this because, like we talked about, I thought that World War Z was good for an action movie, and I think that Brad really added that to it. So I think that having David and Brad is gonna turn World War Z 2 or whatever it's called into like a really legit movie.
It's gonna move up a notch.
Yeah,
it's gonna get color graded to be like. Have other colors than gray. It's gonna have that sweet, sweet Fincher green.
What about pink?
Nope. Green and yellow.
Okay.
Which, I could talk about Fincher forever. It's so good. Yeah, no, and I think especially in terms of like we talked about with the World War Z episode, with World War Z's conceit sort of being like men are good and important and like will save us. I think it's going to be really interesting to see what David Fincher does with that, since David Fincher's thesis and his conceit is, aren't men terrible?
I can't wait to talk about Fight Club with you bringing that lens to the table, because when you watch Fight Club with that lens in mind, it becomes a whole different movie. I saw that it's like that meme, you know, where it's like small brain, medium brain, biggest brain, and it's like small brain, Fight Club good, big brain, Fight Club bad, giant brain. Fight Club good.
Yeah, no, exactly. I feel like that's how you have to view, again, David Fincher hates men, and once you start to understand that, it like absolutely changes the way. It's very easy to peg David Fincher as misogynistic and as this very like gritty pro men movie, and it's like not that at all. Like if you look at any of his films, and I can talk about this forever, hit me up on Twitter at Hannah Skibby, because I will talk to you about that. Forever.
She'll slide right in your DMs.
I'll slide right in your DMs and tell you about how much David Fincher hates men. House of Cards, all of it is like very, like there's this sinisterness to the interactions and how masculinity is looked at.
It's time to bring some man-hating to World War Z. No more Tommy. Tommy, your time to shine is over.
Tommy, fuck you. You're just another man.
It sounds like the internet's really excited about this. I think people are in agreement. I think a lot of people are curious about whether it's going to follow the book more closely. Like, is Brad still going to be Brad? Is he going to be a scientist? I think he should be a scientist. The world is watching, very excited about this. To answer the question that's in your mind, I don't know what we're going to do about this in terms of the bracket. March Bradness is scheduled to go on for a very long time at this current pace.
Save War Machine for after World War Z2 comes out and pit them together.
Pit them together?
War Machine versus World War Z2. We're seeing it at midnight.
Oh, yeah, we're seeing it at midnight.
Midnight showing, and World War Z2.
And then the episode drops the next day.
Make your World War Z release on a Monday. I know, like, really shake it up. So we have time to record and edit the episode and drop it on Wednesday. So, midnight release.
I hope it picks Brad Pitt up out of the bucket.
Yeah, I hope he's doing all right. I hope his sculptures are going well. I'm very curious to see what they end up looking like.
Brad, why don't you get a freaking Twitter? Show us what you're working on.
Show us an Instagram, maybe.
Maybe it's for the better.
Maybe he's on Raya.
Maybe he's on Gaia online. Maybe he was on Club Penguin before. Oh,
maybe that's why
down.
He's so sad. He's like, my marriage is in the toilet. My Club Penguin account got deleted.
My Neopets account got hacked. Maybe it's good that he doesn't have a Twitter, because we would probably just tweet him incessantly. Like, can you imagine?
Never listen to a podcast.
If Brad Pitt had a Twitter, I would drunk tweet him, like, so often.
Oh my god. If Brad Pitt had a Twitter, I would tweet him incessantly about The Image. I'd be like, hey, Brad, remember The Image? So The Image is a movie. We've confirmed it's a movie, correct?
It's definitely a movie. Okay.
It's a very early 90s HBO film. Back when HBO really took home box office to heart.
And this movie is a cryptid. First of all, there's another movie called The Image, which I think is a porn.
Oh, no.
But I'm pretty sure there's more. Like, I think there's, like, a horror movie called The Image, okay. too.
It seems like a solid screenplay name.
Yeah.
The Image.
Yeah. It's one of those films where it's, like, it's hard to even find a picture of, like, the cover of the box.
Yeah.
There's not, like, a summary anywhere. IMDb is practically empty. And you're just like, are we sure that Brad Pitt is in this?
Or was this just, like, made up on Reddit, front page of the internet, to spook some people out, you know? Like, I'm half expecting to see it be, like, have a hand crawl out, you know?
Right.
Like, one of those, like, Pokemon creepypastas.
Yeah.
You know, where it's like, I found this haunted Brad Pitt DVD at a yard sale. A quick rundown. We should give the good people listening to March Madness a synopsis of The Image.
This is a movie about a man named Cromwell and his best friend, Herb?
I thought it was Vern.
We're gonna try.
You're not gonna be able to Google it.
The Image, 1990, Cromwell.
Oh, here's the Wikipedia article summary.
Herb.
We were both wrong. Okay, I'm gonna read the Image plot synopsis. Jason Cromwell is a leading TV newsman whose investigation of a bank scandal drives wrongly accused executive to suicide and forces him to make important decisions about his life and career. What the movie was really about is watching a bunch of people go to work at a cable news station.
Just like the day, I just felt like they just followed people around with a camera at work.
It wasn't even, like, interesting. Like, I say this as someone who loves all sorts of aspects of the TV industry, wants to work in TV so bad, reads, like, really big, wordy, jargony books about TV. It was so boring.
Yeah.
You know? So Cromwell is sort of like this Charlie Rose type figure. Like a 60 Minutes type, like, hard-hitting, very serious. He's married to the job. They wrongly accused a bank executive of laundering money in, like, a subprime mortgage scheme. And then he kills himself. And then Irv is like, I want to do some more investigating because we rushed that story out. And then he dies in a plane crash. And then Cromwell goes down to Texas to go and finish what Irv started, which is where we meet
Brad. It's a long time coming. I'm going to say he shows up in the last 15 minutes.
So this Brad, his name is Steve Black, no relation to Joe Black.
Or Jack Black.
Or Jack Black. He's the best tape shooter in all of the city of Texas that they are in. And he's basically like this young cameraman. He's a real artist when it comes to pigs and chickens. Shoots all the tape.
He said so himself.
And so Cromwell's like, can you shoot this for me? And Brad's like, yeah, I reckon I can. He films a confrontation Cromwell has with someone. And then he comes back and gives Cromwell some pizza. And he's like, are you going to be able to help me shoot tomorrow? And Brad said,
oh, I'd like to, but the local boys got me on an early shoot. Some hog over mule shoe county fair. Life goes on.
You let it. Are you going to be back here tomorrow afternoon, right?
Oh, fucking A. Okay. You're all set there, Mr. Cromwell.
Great.
I'll see you tomorrow.
Yeah, thanks, Steve. Good night.
Good night.
And that's it.
I truly think it was less than 2 minutes.
It was a tiny Brad, both in terms of portion of role and size of the Brad himself.
He was a little baby. He was a little baby. I really wish he'd stayed for pizza.
Pros to this Brad: tiny ponytail, denim outfit. Cons to this Brad: is in it for 2 minutes. The rest of the movie is super boring.
He was cute. He was fun to watch. He had a high level of enthusiasm.
Yeah, he was really going for it.
I think he was excited to have the gig.
Yeah.
I think he was like, oh boy. Oh, jeez. So this is 1990. I mean, like, where does this fall in relation to his other earlier roles?
I think it's around Across the Tracks.
That fits.
Yeah.
It was kind of an Across the Tracks Brad.
Yeah.
Where, like, he's young, he's...
Yeah, you just want to scoop him up, put him in your little pocket, be like, oh, yeah. Brad, and he'll be like,
wow. I would trust this Brad to film the documentary of my life, because it's Brad.
I think so, too, but you'd have to make sure that he had, like, a nice spittoon. He seemed like he was really into chewing tobacco.
Oh.
That's something I decided in my headcanon for
Steve
Black.
He is from Texas, and he does shoot hogs and chickens good. Not as in like pow pow, but as in camera roll.
Like
the kind of shoot. Are you the... Well, you did that really good.
Thanks.
I almost felt like there was a camera in the room. Got a little nervous.
Who's shooting me? Yeah, I don't know. It's really hard to talk about this Brad just because there's so little of him.
It's truly very, very short. It's so short that, like, I would not recommend that you watch this movie for the Brad alone.
My friend Ben has a metric for gauging whether or not a food court Chinese restaurant is good to go to. And it's called the taste-to-stomach-ache ratio. And if there's a low taste-to-stomach-ache ratio, no dice. Mm-hmm. Don't go there, because you're going to have, like, it's not going to taste great, and you're going to get a really bad stomachache. Because
mm-hmm.
whenever you go to a fast food, like a Chinese food court restaurant, you're going to get a stomachache. It's just like, is the taste good enough? And I feel like that similar metric can be applied to a lot of these early Brad movies.
Oh.
The Brad-to-stomach-ache ratio.
I like that.
Yeah, I feel like this one has a really fairly low Brad to stomach ache ratio, just because, like...
Yeah, I don't think it was worth the stomach ache.
Slogging through the image for these 4 glorious minutes of Brad Pitt being just cute as a bug's ear. Really
so
just,
cute.
Like, just so sweet and enthusiastic, and he really carries the scene, you know? Mm-hmm. He's definitely the high point of the film.
Oh, for sure.
Has the most energy of anyone, mm-hmm. has the most personality of anyone.
Mm-hmm.
But just, like, the rest of the movie is just so arduous.
Yeah. It's a difficult one because it is about the Brad. And
yeah.
The Brad that we saw was very shining. It was a good Brad.
He was solid, yeah.
I love me that early classic Brad.
Cheeky.
But I do feel that I would have a hard time arguing that it was a stronger performance.
Right. See, that's where it comes in, as I feel like this Brad felt very, like, and obviously it's difficult too because he's a bit character, but he did feel very one level, you know? He was always at a 7. I don't wonder about the inner life of Steve Black.
Yeah, no. I trust that he's out there doing his best every day.
Yeah, I feel like maybe he has a nice union job now. I think this is a good spot, again, to, like, really think about how we're trying to figure out what this Bradness is. And I do feel like Allied had more Bradness to it.
Interesting.
You know?
It's tough for me because I felt like the Brad in Allied was pretty flat. And I felt like I didn't really see his essence as much. Like, that's what does make this a little tricky for me.
It's like depressed Brad or charisma Brad, you know?
Yeah, he's certainly not doing great in Allied.
But then neither is his character.
That is true. That is true. And, like, we really saw him dial it up again when he was shouting at the drunk dude, grabbing him.
And then he was like, play piano for me.
Yeah.
Like, I'm flip-flopping. Every second I'm flip-flopping,
yeah.
You know? Every second I'm like, well, Allied Brad has that element of danger and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But young Brad is so spunky. But there is a lack of dignity that I think is inherent to the Bradness that was coursing through Allied.
I see what you're saying.
You know, there's a dignity to Tyler Durden. There's a dignity to Rusty.
The Brad that we saw in the image was very spunky and, like, full of Brad, like,
right.
Life. But
it was a caricature.
It was a caricature. And I felt like kind of anybody could have played that.
Right. I feel like when you go, Brad played what was essentially the role of cameraman 1, the way that anyone would play the role of cameraman one. Mm-hmm. We'll go back to our old friend Matt Damon. I feel like if we took Matt Damon at a similar age, he would have that same sort of spunk and pizzazz. If we are to believe that Cromwell is like this hard-hitting, like renowned, very serious guy, I would imagine that
a little scared of him.
He'd be scared of him, and he would like know who that is and like look up to him, and like having known many a film kid, that industry's so cutthroat, like that's such a huge opportunity. And I feel like that there could have been a way, given the script, to like imbue a little bit more of that aim to please and that, and like the excitement that would come with being picked from, like, instead of being like, ah yeah, I guess I got a trunk full of tape, like you'd be like, of course.
Yes, I think that's what I was trying to say earlier. Like, if the role is going to be that short, you have to put some kind of depth to it for me to be like, yes, I'm choosing that.
Right, exactly. And it's like, we can see Brad is like obviously proven himself over and over again to be very good at minor character details.
Definitely. If there's like one little thing that he'd done that stuck out to me, you know, but there really wasn't.
The only thing that sticks out is the fact that he stuck out from the movie.
Yeah.
It feels like a huge tone shift.
I was gonna say, it does feel jarring when Brad shows up.
Like, man, man, man. He's like not, it feels like he's not really reading the room.
It's true. He feels like he was cut out of another movie and like pasted.
Yeah, exactly. Like,
he's like a little.
Like a Looney Tune.
Like a sticker. Yeah, like they animated it. Like, yeah. Like a Cool World situation.
Like a doodle.
I agree. So we are saying then, Allied is the winner.
I would say so, yeah. I think it's very close, but I think that based off of the emotional nuance that Brad is able to portray in Allied, based off of the inability for Brad to fully integrate himself into the world of the image, I would say that Allied is a more well-rounded Brad.
Congratulations,
Congratulations, Allied.
Allied unmasks the image to return home with a win.
It's a good movie.
It's solid, yeah.
It's a fine movie.
It's like, it's not, it's a good airplane movie. It's a melodrama. It's a period piece melodrama, which sometimes you're in the mood for. Marion Cotillard has some really dope fucking silk shirt, high-waisted pants combos.
Oh yeah, good looks.
She's super cool.
There's two lesbians.
Two.
Two.
Neither of them die.
Yeah.
They both survive.
Yes.
Wow.
Watch it for that. We did what had to be done. We're making the tough choices here on March Madness so that you don't have to.
If you disagree with this choice, feel free to light us up in the comments.
Oh, roast me. Don't do that. Be nice.
No, I'm sensitive. I'm a fragile girl.
Don't make us cry. But like,
let us know on contact@marchmadness.net.
Oh, for sure. If you have an opinion, we will talk about it.
Please.
Unless you don't want us to, and then
in which just case, say, just like
shh, keep a secret.
Say, no, thank you. You can find that and a whole bunch of other cool, fun tidbits on our website, marchmadness.net. If you're not listening to us on marchmadness.net, you can totally listen to us on Google Play, on iTunes. We have a Twitter, marchmadness, an Instagram, march.bradness. Oh, and we're on Facebook.
March Madness.
Like, comment, subscribe.
Give us those sweet, sweet stars. Tell your friends and family.
Everyone loves Brad Pitt.
Spread the good word of Brad Pitt around your home or office today. Tune in next week for a mini episode, a movie that Brad Pitt should have been in. And tune in the week after that for a shake-up episode.
Do, 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 do.
This is unscripted, off the cuff, off the bracket. It's War Machine, guys. We're doing it.
Oh, Justin did not like that. Justin hates the sounds of war.
And because War Machine is not in the bracket, because it was just released on Netflix, we are pitting it with something new.
We're pitting it against Brad Pitt's arc on the 1990s smash hit sitcom Friends.
That's right, you heard it.
No one told you life was gonna be this way. Da, 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 da. Your life's a joke, you're broke, you love less than you.
That's right.
It's Friends. Unclear so far if this will continue on to the bracket, if we'll tack it on at all, or if it's just going to be like a nice mini epa?
We'll see what happens.
We'll see what happens. We'll see how it goes.
Time will tell.
We'll see how good War Machine is.
June.
And how great Friends is.
It's going to be great. Do not miss out on this.
Limited time offer.
Mark your calendars. We release episodes once a week on Wednesdays, so it'll be the Wednesday after the next Wednesday. You can look it up. You know how time works.
Back on your calendar.
I love you so much.
You're really great. Your support means the world to me.
Thank you.
Shout out also to Maddie Reed.
Oh, Maddie, shout out.
Just like, thanks so much, girl. Love it.
Maddie, you adjusted my glasses so good.
Love it.
All right, bye.
Bye. Earlier in this episode, I gave a shout out to Reddit, Front Page of the Internet, a website that I only ever have been on to read gossip about RuPaul's Drag Race. If you want me to sponsor you, I can do that, and I promise I'll be way more familiar with your product. I will not say, I don't really understand your product here. Let us know, drop us a line, and it'll be good.